Lewis, how did you celebrate your Easter?
I ate a lot of chocolate.
Oh, that sounds nice. What did you do after that?
Well, I digested it. Mm-hmm. I digested it for a bit, and then I regurgitated it. And then I chewed the chocolate some more.
Oh, so you chewed the cud?
Yes.
Oh, well, listener, apart from talking about cud on today's episode, we'll also be doing a very special interview with a Christian YouTuber, Kristen, and she'll be talking to us about different personality types.
That's right, and as it is Easter, we're joined with a familiar personality, that being Father Jim.
So pull up a chair.
Sit down.
Relax.
Stand back up.
Put the kettle on.
Wait for the kettle to boil.
Grab your tea bag of preference.
Or loose leaf if you're into that.
Grab a biggie or two.
Then sit back down.
Snuggle under a blankie.
Then enjoy the show.
Happy Easter, parishioners. Now, you might think that that's a bit silly for me saying this weeks after Easter, but I'm going to keep saying Happy Easter for weeks after Easter because for us as Catholics, Easter is not just a day, it is a whole season where we continue to explore and unfold the mystery that Jesus has risen and that he's risen not just for himself, good for him, he's not dead anymore, but Jesus is risen for us and he shares his divine life with us. So a little story I love sharing at Easter time is from the film The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. And features a young entrepreneurial man named Sonny who kind of renovates a rundown old hotel called the Marigold. And as he enthusiastically runs around, tries to greet his guests and serve their every needs, he says, "We have a saying here at the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Everything will be all right in the end. If everything is not all right, it is not yet the end." And while that's kind of a bit of a cute way, I guess, of doing customer service, it's actually a really profound statement of our Christian life. Everything will be all right in the end. If everything is not all right, it is not yet the end. And so for Jesus, his death on the cross was not all right. The Son of God should not have been killed, but that was not the end. God had better plans for Jesus and raised him up, resurrected him. But that becomes then the model for our lives too, because the Bible tells us that the power which with God used to raise Jesus from the dead, God puts to work in us as well. So the things in our lives, the sadness and despair, the loneliness, the emptiness, the guilt, the sin, the problems that we have that we can't ignore, that we don't just brush away and say, "Oh, that doesn't matter." They matter. They're not all right, but they are not yet the end because God has better plans for us too. And the power of Jesus' resurrection working in us can transform those things that feel like death into life because God has better plans for us. If everything is not all right, then it is not yet the end. Happy Easter, everyone.
For this episode of the podcast, I was hoping to produce a segment on the origins of the Easter Bunny, but that became too difficult, a bit too quickly. I started off with a quick Google search, and that led me to a dozen different theories as to why it's a bunny that delivers eggs around the globe. I wasn't off to a great start. I then looked to see if the word rabbit appears in the Bible. Who knows? Maybe the Easter Bunny has a biblical origin. I discovered that the word rabbit makes an appearance twice in the Bible, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. In both books, it says essentially the same thing, which is, you may eat any animal that has a split hoof divided in two and that chews the cud. But of those that chew the cud or have a completely divided hoof, you are not to eat the following: the camel, the rabbit, or the rock badger. Although they chew cud, they do not have a divided hoof. Upon reading this, I decided that instead of investing my time in researching the origins of the Easter Bunny, it would be far more exciting for me to find out what cud is. I'll be honest, ladies and gentlemen, up until this point in time, I didn't know what cud was. But I knew this much. It sounded amazing. And when I did my research, I was not disappointed. But before we get to cud, we have to know what a ruminant is. A ruminant is a hoofed herbivore that has a stomach with four chambers. Some of you may have heard, you know, the fun fact that a cow has four stomachs. Well, a cow is an example of a ruminant. Other examples are goats, sheep, giraffes, bison, moose, deer, alpacas, llamas, and yaks. We often say that these animals have four stomachs, like the cow, but that is not quite true. They just have the one stomach, but it has four chambers. Anyhow, on to cud. When a ruminant finishes chewing a big hunk of grass, the grass will then slide down into the first chamber of the stomach, where it gets broken down a bit. But the food doesn't then pass onto the second chamber of the stomach. The food gets regurgitated back into the mouth, gets chewed some more, then gets passed down into the second chamber. This regurgitated food that is being chewed in the mouth, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call cud. But the funny thing is, we started our cud journey in the Bible, where it states that rabbits chew the cud. I'm sorry to disappoint you, ladies and gentlemen, but rabbits are not ruminants, and nor do they chew the cud. Why does the Bible say this? Well, the current theory is that there was an error in the translation from Hebrew. So listener, when Easter does come around next year and everyone is raving about how great the Easter Bunny is, just think to yourself, can the Easter Bunny really be that great if it can't chew cud?
Hello. Today I'm fangirling a little bit, and the reason is because I am having the opportunity to interview the darling dear Kristen, who is a Catholic YouTuber based in Sydney, and she does a variety of different videos all about personality types, as well as a lot of interesting videos around concepts to do with improving your emotional intelligence and overall just content about helping you understand yourself and others better. So, Kristen.
Hello.
As with all good interviews, I have to ask you a very important question, which is, tell me a little bit about yourself and your content.
Well, I'm glad you asked. My name is Kristen. I run a YouTube channel called Dear Kristen, which is based on comedy sketches on the 16 Myers-Briggs personality types. Aside from that, I'm just a regular gal. I love the good Lord. I love films.
What's your favourite film?
My favourite film, La La Land.
La La Land?
Yeah. Why? I just think it touches on some really poignant truths about love and life. And it's a musical, and musicals are, no surprises, my bread and butter. Yeah, so aside, yeah, just out here creating content, living my life. It's a good life. It's a good journey. I'll keep talking until you stop me.
All right. Well, it's great to hear a bit about you, Kristen. But now we're going to be putting you on the hot seat.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes. With some more interesting questions about yourself and your content and really how it can help both understand yourself and others.
Great. Let's go for it.
First question is, in three sentences or less, what is MBTI? And why is it useful to know?
Oh, goodness, I've never said anything in three sentences or less.
You can do run-on sentences. So if you just keep talking, it's a one sentence. Sure, if you just keep going, it's fine. Mm.
Yeah, common counts.
Myers-Briggs is a personality typology system that is based on deciphering which tools that you use in situations to perceive the world around you and make your decisions, and it's very good for understanding how to communicate with those in your life. That was one sentence.
There you go.
Amazing. Wow. The pressure. I was like, don't put a full stop. Don't put a full stop.
What really got you into, I guess, Myers-Briggs and typology?
Yeah, so I think in about 2012, my sister Jenna brought it home to us one day, just kind of saying, I heard about this, you know, really cool personality type thing. It was kind of popular at the time. She told me, Kristen, I think you're an ESFP. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let's take this test. I was like, this is nice. It's an opportunity to bond with my sister, which I was loving at the time. And I did take the test and the result was actually ESFP. So I was like, oh, okay, interesting. She thought I was ESFP. I got this result, ESFP. And then I, you know, sort of looked into it and I was like, okay, there are these eight letters, one for each of the letters of the MBTI tool that sort of just have, yeah, those eight words that don't really have a lot of explanatory value, but they kind of, you know, were enough to make me sort of be like, oh, I'm cool and different from my siblings, you know, because all my other family members were different personality types. And I was, you know, the entertainer. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I felt weirdly like validated because I'd always been that person who, like, in our childhood home videos, like, they'd be trying, my parents would be trying to take a video of, you know, one of, like, my brother tying his shoelaces. And I'd just, like, appear before the camera and be like, hello, watch me dance. So I felt weirdly validated. I was like, oh, nice. Okay. This kind of, you know, and I read the description. And I was like, this actually really sounds like me. You know, it was nice to kind of validate those things about myself that I guess I'd kind of always grown up wondering, is this a flaw? You know, because people had sort of said things like, oh, you're attention seeking, or you just like being center of attention. But, you know, ever since I've been young, I've just really liked to entertain people, make people laugh, you know, bring them into the moment, like, you know, bring them out of themselves and kind of engage in the present moment. And so, you know, I sort of just continued life, kind of not really diving deeper into it. And then it was around, I moved to South Korea. And when I was teaching over there, I had a reversion to my faith. And around that time, I was trying to make sense of things I'd done in my life, the mistakes I'd made, the people I'd hurt. And in doing that, I really needed to be honest with myself about what my, I guess, the vices, the tendency of what kind of vices my personality had. And so in that period of my life, I was very interested in I started to get interested in psychology, and personality tools really helped me. And so that's when I really dove a little bit deeper to find out, okay, what are the roots behind these personality tools? How can they help us understand inherent tendencies that we have that others might not, inherent blind spots that we have in our personalities that others might not? And how can we use that to sort of like approach our relationships, approach our relationship with God, understand our natural gifts and talents and charisms and those kinds of things? That definitely wasn't three sentences, but if I was to...
Sorry, no limit on this question.
Yeah, good, good. You surprised me with that three sentence thing.
Oh, look, I mean, I warned you I was going to put you on the hot seat.
No, you did, you know. And I did say I loved it. Called my bluff there.
I think, yeah, the journey sounds really interesting. I love how you use Myers-Briggs and going from just the ESFP letters, you sort of decided to delve deeper and really see what that meant for you. I know you did mention a little bit how your faith and I guess more research into psychology sort of intertwined together and it's helped you better understand yourself. So I guess my question would be like, how have you felt that your faith and has helped guide you both in your YouTube career and also your journey towards understanding yourself and others better?
Yeah, gosh, that is a huge question. Yeah, it was actually really interesting, I guess, how it was really interesting how my YouTube channel, I guess, came about, and it links to my faith in that I've always been sort of into theatre, and I was very part of community theatre growing up. You know, when I was overseas, I was always acting, I was always on stage. During COVID, there was obviously hiatus on all theatre, and I needed some kind of outlet for my creative energy, right? I didn't have an audience to dance and prance in front of. So I was like, I'm going to make videos now. I'm going to upload them to the internet. And so I did, just to my private Instagram following, just based on the Myers-Briggs typology theory. And sort of people really enjoyed them. And they said, you know, you should upload these to YouTube. For some reason, I was like, oh, you know, I'll go ahead and do it. Uploaded, I think, 5 videos at the time to YouTube, with no intention to really make anything of it, because I was like, I don't know, I just never thought that YouTube would be something that I would ever, I don't know, when you're thinking about how can I do the Lord's will,
yeah,
YouTube isn't the first answer
yeah,
that comes to mind, if you know what I mean. So it was a few months. I was doing my master's thesis at the time on, I was studying a master's of theology at the Notre Dame University of Notre Dame at the time. And that was coming to an end, and my thesis was going to be due in January 2020. And I was sort of praying to God, you know, I was sort of, you know, I'd come to the end of a relationship and, you know, my thesis was coming to be due. And I said to God, you know, what do you want me to do? Like, I'll do anything that you want me to do. I'll go overseas. Like, I have no ties to this country. Like, I'm very happy to go overseas again. You know, I'll, you know, join a religious order, whatever it is, just give me a sign, like give me a clear sign.
Yeah.
And I remember my thesis was due on the 15th of January. And so I handed that in. And then on the 18th of January, inexplicably out of nowhere, my YouTube just blew up in like views, in like the 5 videos that I'd put up like 9 months before and had been writing on like 30 subscribers, just sort of blew up. I got thousands and thousands of views in one day. And it really tied in with what I'd been praying to God about. I'd been really waiting for this sign. And suddenly out of nowhere, I was like, I looked upstairs to God. And I was like, okay, sure. I'll do YouTube then. So I started making these videos. And I didn't really understand the place that Myers-Briggs had in terms of, and personality type theory had in terms of understanding your faith or your relationship with God at the time. But as I've come to do YouTube over the last 2 years and I've engaged with conversations with my followers, and I've really come to see how my gifts, my very specific God-given gifts are being used in what I'm doing with YouTube, I've really like come to understand my identity as being just a daughter of God. And so much more because I see just the beautiful way that he made me in my inherent personality, which I grew up thinking was like flawed in so many ways because I was, you know, under the impression that I was like attention seeking or whatever. All those things I mentioned before. But it was really interesting when I sort of like grew closer to God, I realized, no, like those things about myself, they just needed to be sanctified. But when I became closer to God, I was like, they didn't actually go away. They were being used. Like my desire to entertain others and all that was still being used, but in like a sanctified way, you know, like yeah. For a good cause, like, as you said, encouraging people to engage in emotional intelligence, encouraging people to deepen their relationships, whether it be with God or others.
Sorry, just following up with that. What impact, because you're talking about like interviewing with, speaking to some of your fans or your viewers and like the impact that you've had, what impact do you think you've had and what impact do you want to have? I guess that's my real question. Like, what do you think you've done so far? And if everything could go perfectly, what would it look like at the end, if you know what that is?
Love that question. The impact I want to have on people is to realize in order for them to feel fulfilled and happy, they have to look in the mirror, work on themselves, and come to love themselves in their God-given personality. Obviously, not everyone believes in God, but for who they are, so that then they can look outward to others and be able to give to others from that personality that they have. And so really, it's just the encouragement of growth in virtue by drawing attention to, through things like personality tools, drawing attention to, again, as I said, those blind spots, those areas of your personality that you're unaware are sort of like hindering you in being able to relate to others or see things from other people's perspectives. And in using personality tools to realize where those blind spots are, you can realize where, I guess, the specific virtues that you need to work on are. And so, yeah, just self-acceptance and using and accepting yourself so that you can therefore give to others, basically. So that's the message that I guess, encourage. And I don't, you know, I'm very obviously like, I don't hide my faith on my channel, but I don't talk about it through like a explicitly Catholic lens because I think it's a universal message. As we know, the message of love is a universal message because it is the message. It is the only message.
Upon reviewing your content, I think like what I really love is that you're able to help me understand my type. I'm also an ESFP.
Oh, cool.
And feel more validated about all the silly and also charming things that I do. But what I always have really loved about your videos is that you use humor and just really a lighthearted way to, like you said, spread that message. I think a lot of times when we want to talk about, you know, hey, you need to be a nicer person or you need to understand people better, it's usually given to us in quite a like high-handed way where people go, oh, like, hey, you know, you need to be nicer. You need to stop saying things like, why didn't you do the dishes or blah, 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 blah. But like, I find the way that you deliver content is quite nice and refreshing. You're doing little skits and you show the different ways in which other people see and react to situations. But in doing it in a lighthearted way, it's much easier for me to understand and relate to and laugh along with. And on top of that, like you also do these nice videos on the side about how to be better at emotionally validating people. That's one of my favorite videos. Or, you know, just ways in how to be more kinder and understanding. But you do it in such a fun and charming way that it makes me look at the video and really think about how I can implement it in my day-to-day life as opposed to feeling like I've been scolded for been mean to my neighbor or something like that. So, I really love your videos, and I can see a lot of the that it really resonates with a lot of the other viewers as well. So you are definitely achieving your intended vision, I'd say.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because when I was studying my master's, I had this, when I was younger, I had this idea that I was going to be like this really intelligent, like academic person who was going to like go and do a PhD. And I quickly realized while doing my master's thesis that no, that was not going to happen because that was like pulling teeth. And, I got through it and I was able to, with the help of like my supervisor and all that, get through it. But I think in growing closer to God and establishing a relationship with him, I came to learn I need to stop projecting this weird ideal that I have of myself onto myself and actually strip that away so that I can become the person that God intended me to be and use the gifts that he actually gave me rather than sitting in this sense of like idealization of this ideal self I could be as this like really, academic person who's going to like change the world through like literature or something. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because one of the greatest lessons that I've learned since starting YouTube is that there's so many different types of intelligence, right? And I thought I had a certain type of intelligence when I was young, or I wanted to have that kind of intelligence. But I've really realized that I have really high emotional intelligence. And that's I might not be super, super like book smart. Like it's really hard for me to sit down and like read through an entire book. My attention span is not that great. But, coming to accept that the gift that God gave me can be used to glorify him. And that's what this life is all about at the end of the day. So it's just so interesting that you say that, because that's been like the main lesson that I've learned is like, oh, nice. When you accept and let God work through the gifts he's given you and the charisms he's given you, that's where you can really start to move people and make a difference for his glory.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the format of videos that you do and just your content really, really helps your message shine. Mm. And I don't think there could have been any better way to do it.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
It's so validated.
Thank you so much for your time, Kristen. It was just awesome hearing all of our personalities and, how we can use our God-given gifts to help us to understand ourselves and help others.
No worries. It was an absolute joy being here. You guys are doing a good thing here. Love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I loved your content and I'm sure our listeners will too. So if we wanted to find out more, where do you recommend we go?
Sure. Well, I'm glad you asked, Megan. If you'd like to learn more about Myers-Briggs specifically through my brand of content, you can check out my YouTube channel, Dear Kristen, that's spelled K-R-I-S-T-I-N. And I've been using some terminology in this episode, such as cognitive functions. If you don't know what those are, I recommend you jump on to my YouTube channel or podcast, which is called Literally No Subtext. And I think in the show notes of this episode, there will be links to that. And if there weren't going to be, now there are, because I've said it.
Look.
And there are a few different experiments that I do with my audience members and typology surveys. If you're interested in contributing to those, you can jump onto my Instagram, dear.kristin, again, K-R-I-S-T-I-N. And that is all. Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, would recommend that you check Kristen out on all her channels. You will not be disappointed.
Listener, as always, we are busy, busy, busy in the parish. And Joanna Mack is in the thick of it, and she's here to tell us what's going on in the next month or two. Joanna, what is rocking?
Hello, Jack. Yes, so our parish of Epping and Carlingford, we're running a lot of events in the next couple of months for different people. So I'm here to tell you a few things that we're doing. So we're in at the end of April now. So in May and June, we have at least four kind of courses or events our parish are hosting. The first one is called a Call and Gifted course. It's a 1.5-day course about the charisms of the Holy Spirit. Have you heard much about the charisms of the Holy Spirit, Jack?
Briefly on a small diocesan retreat, which I believe we may have heard of at the same time.
Yes. So I think we went on that retreat a couple of years ago, and that was the first time that I heard about the charisms. So the charisms are actually given to every single Christian at their baptism. But unfortunately, we don't really hear much about the charisms. We often hear about the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are really important, and they're given to us for our personal use. But the charisms are supernatural graces that are given to us, and it's for the building up of the church. So I think it's important for us as Christians to be able to learn about our own charisms and to be able to then use that for the church in ministry or in volunteering, whether that might be, you know, serving up front or serving behind the scenes through music or hospitality or administration. So we're very lucky. We're getting a speaker from Canberra to come up to teach us this course. And it's going to be on the 6th of May on a Saturday night, and then the Sunday, the 7th of May, where we'll be able to do a little inventory and discover our own charisms and to be able to hear more about how our personal charisms can be used for the church. I did this course last year as part of a bigger course called the Arete course, which is a ministry leadership course. And it was really amazing. For me, I really wanted like a gift of intercessory prayer. So that's being able to pray for other people and be open to praying, and like whenever, you know, someone comes up to me, that I can pray for them on the spot. And I really prayed for this charism, and people pray over me, and it was really special at the time. I probably didn't feel very different, but in that week, the next week that happened, there were people on Facebook that were just randomly adding me to like these online prayer groups. One person was from Melbourne and another person was from Sydney, and just asking me to pray for like a list of people. And that was pretty amazing. And then also during the week, at nighttime when I was sleeping, I was praying the rosary and I was praying for people in my sleep. So that's my personal, I guess, little part about, I guess, learning about the charisms and being gifted with intercessory prayer. That was really special for me. Moving on, I guess from the start of May, we're also running a 6-week course on learning about St. Teresa of Avila. So starting from May the 10th, that'll be running on Wednesday mornings. And one of our retired bishops, so Bishop David Walker, will be teaching us about St. Teresa of Avila and her ways of prayer. So I highly recommend anyone who's free on a Wednesday morning, 10:15 to 11:30, to come along to that. Another really exciting thing that we're running again this year is an environmental forum. So last year, our social justice team ran an environmental forum, but we're going to be running this more for like a youth and young adult target, where we'll be talking about practical ways that we can help our environment through things like recycling, reducing waste, what we can donate for other people, and ways that we can get involved. So that'll be a Sunday evening, 21st of May, 6 to 8 p.m. Moving on from May the 22nd, so the day after that, we'll be running St. Ignatian Spiritual Exercises. So this is a 5-week course about Ignatian spirituality and prayer. So Ignatius, he's a really fantastic person to learn about prayer and how to have, I guess, personal prayer in our everyday life and how to hear God's voice in the ordinary and in everyday. So you might have heard of the Examine, which is one of the prayers that St. Ignatius teaches about. But this will be, I guess, a deeper look into personal prayer. So that we'll be having Monday mornings, Monday evenings, Tuesday nights, Thursday afternoons on doing the spiritual exercises. So if you want more information, it starts on May the 22nd, and there's more information in the bulletin. And I believe we're getting a Jesuit priest come over from Burma who'll be teaching us that. So I think that'll be pretty incredible. He'll be staying in our parish. Mm-hmm. So he's a Jesuit priest coming.
Wow.
And finally, Jack, for men, there is a Men Alive retreat for all men of all ages. And that will be on June the 17th to 18th. So all day on a Saturday and a half day on a Sunday. This is a retreat for men of all ages to, I guess, learn about, I guess, the beauty of being a Catholic male in the 21st century. So you can book by going to our parish website or just look in a bulletin and you can find a try booking link.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Joanna, for keeping us informed. So listener, there you go. If you're interested in either the charism, St. Teresa of Avila, the environment, or spirituality and prayer, or maybe you're just a man, we have something for you. So if you need any finer details, perhaps you might need to register for some of the events, all those details you'll find in the parish bulletin. And I look forward to seeing some of you at those events.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Listener, as we close up this episode, we just want to give you a heads up of our plans moving forward. Many of us on the podcast have become increasingly more busy with work and study, and as such, we have decided to start producing the podcast every 2 months. We apologize for the infrequent releases, but we also hope that by giving ourselves more time to produce each episode, they will be of a higher quality with fresh voices and fresh content. We thank you for your ongoing support, and we hope you have a lovely Tuesday.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the God who has raised Jesus from the dead, who has put his inexhaustible power to raise Jesus, may he share his divine life with you to transform what feels like death in your life into life and hope and joy. May God bless you with his peace this Easter and always. Amen.